Well, I think it would be good if you'd pray for me. We're always in need of the Lord's help. I'm thinking tonight of the many of the battles of my life, Christian life. The hardest battles that I've faced in my living for the Lord was the battles of my mind. When I got victory in my mind, it didn't matter what the situation was, I had victory.
Yes.
I want to talk to us tonight a little bit about hopelessness. I've been in those kind of places. Hopelessness to me is the inability to be able to see out of it. Hope by itself suggests the future. Yes. You hope in something. If you have it, you don't hope in it. It suggests a change for the better. An improvement, something to come out of it. Hopelessness is when you can't see out of that. We have a song that's devoted to that. 198 in our book says, is there any hope within us of a life beyond the grave? That is crucial to our lives, because there will be a time that there's nothing left to hope in here. For all of us, there's going to be a time that we're going to leave this world.
Yes.
And the only thing there is the hope for what's beyond it.
Yes.
And that song is devoted to that prospect, that no matter what's here, I can see beyond that into the world, into the life that I have in Christ beyond it. And it is the foundation of our Christian lives, is that we know that we're going to have to leave this world. Jesus came to give us hope.
Yeah.
But I want to look at it more than that, because we do have life to live.
Yeah.
And we have circumstances of life to live. And many times we live these lives and we make bad decisions, causes it. Sometimes not decisions causes it. Sometimes just circumstances of life gets us into places still. We don't know what to do or where to go, and sometimes it gets dark. One of the songs we sing sometimes, A Virtue of Faith, says something like, darkest night and brazen sky.
Yes.
That kind of thing is pierced by faith, unfailing eye. Take something to, in the middle of it, it's dark skies, brazen, and there doesn't look to be anything beyond it. But by faith, you see through the dismal times, the hard times. I've been privileged of the Lord, I say, to have experienced a little depression in my life. It is the hardest thing I went through in my life, is to have that sense of discouragement and not be able to see anything beyond that experience, to be downcast like that. I believe the Lord allowed me to see that for a reason, to have understanding about what that is, and to also have the experience that God brought deliverance of that to me and gave me hope in that. There's things I can't do for myself.
Yes.
I know there's a lot of teaching out there to make your decision, pull yourself up, I find that I can't do that with everything. I need help with those kind of things. And there is times where I went to the Lord, and the Lord has brought me up, has encouraged and helped me and brought me out and to give me hope. I have read in places that they try to avoid, the criminal justice system tries to avoid. We would rather, reform somebody. We would rather, because their desperation, if you give them nothing, they become more animalistic if they have nothing.
Yes.
If there's no hope to their life, they would do the most vicious thing, most crazy thing, because there's no hope in this life. And Lord has came to give us hope. And the idea that, thank God, you don't have a situation that God can't change. God can change all the circumstances of our life, and we get into these places that it can look so dark. And the devil makes sure that we feel every bit of it, that we feel the desperation of it, that we feel the darkness of it, of the circumstances, of those kind of things. But I want to encourage you tonight that you don't have a situation that God can't change. God can bring these things back around. And this is proven over and over in the scriptures. The gospel message tonight is that your circumstance can change. You can change. Your thought process can change. Everything about you can change. It may look dark, and it may be brazen sky, and it may look hopeless to you. But tonight, the message of the gospel is, I can change that in your life. God is a miracle-working God. There is times that God has changed this hopelessness in my life without changing the circumstance. He did it by a grace. He did it by His Spirit. And pouring into my mind and heart, He changed me, not the circumstance. But I was illuminated in my spirit. I've told this many times, but when the situation happened before my first wife had passed away, she was getting close to that kind of a place, and things was hard and difficult to understand, and there was a lot of struggles in my mind, and the future was always a doubt about what it would be and those kind of things. And I remember vividly in the place that I was standing by myself, looking up into to heaven in my heart and mind, and told the Lord, I am at my wit's end. I didn't intend on quit serving the Lord, folks. I literally had got to my emotional end. I had got to the strength of my inner being. I got to the end. I don't know what I'll do. If you don't help me, Lord, I'm at my wit's end. You've got to do something for me. And it was as if the ceiling of the room opened up. It was like heaven opened up. And the Spirit of the Lord, the grace of God poured over me. I felt God pour over me to the sense that I was changed in a moment. It changed me. I felt God saying to me, you will make it through. I will give you the strength to be able to come. I never doubted my ability to go through. No matter what happened, I didn't doubt it after that moment. It was an enlightenment to me. God can change our lives. And it's the gospel message that I would like to speak to everyone. Well, it's a limited crowd, but I'd like to be able to say it to the whole community, the whole world. Drug addictions can be solved. Alcoholics can be solved. These are things that can be changed. Hopeless situations and things that don't look right in our relationship situations. Sometimes you say, I'm so different and she's so different or he's so different. It can never be changed. It's a hopeless situation. It's not hopeless. Not in the Lord. It's not hopeless. God came. Jesus came to make a difference. That's what He came to do, was change. I say this often, but if you have a claim of the Lord and you don't have a change, you don't have the Lord. It's not being hard, it's being factual. The Lord changes us when we come to the Lord. There has to be a change. The old man has passed away. And behold, all things become new. There's a newness that happens, a change of our lives that the Lord wants to give us. And this is proven through the scriptures, and I want to look at some of it tonight to encourage us that God can change our situations. God can give us hope in the situations. I have so many ideas, but one of them was that Brother Jim White, not everybody here knew him, so I'll testify for him. He was quite a man. He was quite an individual. He was a man that was born in 1922, and he became an age at World War II, and he went off to war. He went off as a paratrooper in the 101st Airborne, and he said he went to the Airborne. It was more dangerous, but he went to the Airborne because they gave more money, and he went to the Airborne, and he experienced so many things over there. By his own testimony, it hardened him. It hardened him because you have to be hardened to see your friends blown up. You can't wilt. You can't not. You have to harden yourself. And he hardened himself till he told me when he come back home, he looked at his wife and his very small child without human emotions. He said, I had no human emotion. The only thing that he really cared about doing was going and being a part of the group that had come back. It's the only thing he could hardly relate with. But you know, the Lord dealt with him. The Lord dealt with a hardened man of war and started talking to his heart. And the Lord changed this man. He changed him from that hardened person to one of the softest, most gentle men that I ever knew. He changed him. He altered it. Is there hope for those that are around us? Yes, there is hope. And I remember when Brother Jim got a cancer on his face. His doctor friend told him, I want to cut that off. He said, you're going to leave that alone. He touched this. It was something like for 13 years, this cancer would grow. And at one time, it was up in his eye. And his eye would water and all those things. And he put his trust in the Lord. And you know, the Lord, when he died, it wasn't, you could have covered it with the end. 13 years later, they had given him all kinds of predictions and everything was going to happen. And you could have covered it with the end of your finger right there. It had healed up that much. I'm going to tell you, God can change the situations. He told me, he said, that has been one of the best things for me. Every day, I have to look in the mirror and see the witness there on my face. You know, there was times that looked very dark. Yes. And God turned that around to be a blessing for him and gave him hope. I want to look at a scripture starting off in the 30th. Oh, let's see. I think it's the 30th Psalm I want. 30th Psalm and 10th verse says, Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Sackcloth of that days would have been the expression of the burden. They put sackcloth. When things happened, they put sackcloth and ashes on them. The loneliness, the burden that they had. This change, it would have been the grief that they had. He turned the mourning, the crying, the weeping, the sackcloth, the down. He was down. It sounds hopeless. It sounds dark. It sounds impossible. It sounds like a very hard situation. But the writer here says the Lord turned that. He turned the mourning away from it to dancing. Dancing is an illustration of happiness and emotion, freedom. And he changed the bondage to a freedom. And he turned this situation of sackcloth into gladness. And now what I looked at that was so bad, I got hope again. I have an encouragement. A scripture said that David, after the enemy had come and spoiled the camp while he was gone and come and got their women and their children and their stuff, and he packed it off. You remember that David had no recourse. It was dark. They were going to stone him to death. It looked bad. No doubt it was discouraging. Your own men are going to kill you and put you to death. And what did he do? It said that he went and he put himself before the Lord and he encouraged himself in the Lord. I don't know how he'd done that exactly. I know how I'd have done it. I'd have started singing songs and getting scripture. And I started but he encouraged himself in the Lord. He started saying, I think what he did was saying, that old giant wasn't so big, was he, Lord? He wasn't so big. Them Philistines wasn't so tough, was he, Lord? Lord was able to do all those things. He encouraged himself in what the Lord has done for him in his life. Has the Lord done anything for you in your life? Has he ever touched you, talked to you, ever inspired you, ever done anything, ever lifted you up? Has he been real to you? He'll be real to you again. Yes, he will. He's a real God, and he's in a real situation, and we're his children, and he wants to help us. I just love the Lord. I love the love that the Lord has for us. I depend on it. When I doubt everything else, I don't doubt that. Thank God that he loves me. That is my encouragement. Lord, I know if you died for me, you're not going to let me go. You know, he cares about the small things. I had this situation happen. I just want to express it because it was such a blessing to me. We deal with a young Ugandan girl that has rescued these 14. three children and are raising them and trying to help them, and we help them do that. And these children recently, they were in school, and that's a limited thing to put them in, but the school was going to send them, they're really, really close to the headwaters of the Nile, and they was going to have an educational trip from school, but it costs a little bit of money per children, each child. There's 10 of them in school, so it was going to take a little bit of money for them to get to go on the trip, and there wasn't no money, so the children weren't going to get to go. But they really wanted to go, and so they told Sister Brenda that they really wanted to go, and her solution to that was, we don't have any money, so you can't go, but you better pray. She told the children, you can pray.
Yes.
You can pray. So the children started praying that they get to go. These are children that even Sister Brenda has never went further there in her city than her feet would take her. She's never been anywhere. These children have never left the confounds of the area that they're in. But they was going to wanted to go on this trip. So it was meaningful to them. They wanted to do it. It may seem trivial to us, but you know God cares. God cares about the things that we care for. And I never actually got to do them. She told me about these children, was really praying. And you know, the Lord, not surprisingly, sent the money for them to go. It may seem like a small thing, but there's hope involved in that for a lifetime.
Yes.
There can be something to draw from. When we wanted, when we desired, when we went before the Lord with our hearts, we poured our hearts out. Little children, when they poured their hearts out, God answered their prayers. And they was able to do that. I don't know that the education they get will be worth the money that's in it. But I'm going to tell you, the hope and faith that they can have in God, that was money well spent. Because they can have the knowledge and understanding that God did something for us. We prayed and he answered, that he's real. And the next time we're going to have a need, I'm going to know where to go. And when I get into these kind of places and things are bad, there's a God that can change this situation of my life.
Yes, there is.
Over in the 61st of Isaiah, very familiar scripture because it's also, I think, quoted in Luke about 4 by Jesus. In the 61st Psalm, it says, the Spirit... Or Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison door to them that are bound. That all sounds like a pretty hopeless situation, don't it? To be locked up for how long? You know, we get an idea in the Bible sometimes of the faithful men, and I don't want to diminish this. I just know what human nature is. And I just think there's a lot of things that don't talk. Paul was a mighty man of God, but I can't help from thinking that when he was getting cold and all that, that there was some human elements in there. Of course there was. I wonder if any of these men ever had a doubt. Well, we know one of the prophets did. Because he's talked like it. He expanded his doubts. But Joseph, a young man who was free. He was free to roam the fields. He done for his dad. He had a family and all that. He was taken and removed from all of that. Thrown in a well. Then sold into slavery. Then all of that. Do you think he ever had a hopeless thought? It doesn't say that we have him. He's a great man of God. And surely he was. But do you think that he ever had... Do you think that he ever was discouraged or had a hopeless thought or how's this going to end or what's this going to be? One thing went from worse and he thought it was okay now and then worse and now he ends up being labeled as a pervert basically and thrown into the jail dungeon. And when do I get out? how do I get out of here? You know, hope's an important thing.
Yes, it is.
It's important to have hope. God can change the circumstances. You remember the story of Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress? You know, I think it's really amazing. Pilgrim Progress was one of the most, what do you say, published spiritual things next to the Bible that ever was. One of the most read. The allegories of it is it really speaks to something. I think it's amazing that he was in there all those years. He started writing that about his 11th year in there. You know, right after he done that, got that completed, he wrote a lot of different things. After he completed that, it wasn't long ago he got out of there. The Lord had a purpose. I don't think the Lord showed him his purpose and he said, oh, great, I got this purpose. No, I think that there was times that his blind daughter or whatever it was, his wife's out there and the longing for that. And of course it got him and discouraging and all those kind of things. Well, it makes me think we need the Lord.
Yes.
Really need the Lord.
Yes.
To have hope beyond these kind of things, because life does happen and we do get into these kind of situations. But I want to encourage us that looking to God can change these circumstances and he will keep us in every situation. This talks about those that are in prison being free. This is the gospel message. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. I don't know which prison is worse, the literal one or the prisons of your mind. It's hard to be in prison. One old gospel song said, palaces would prisons prove if only the Lord was there. I believe that. When the Lord comes, he can overshadow the situation that we're in and lift us up in that situation. Being in the presence of God will outshine everything. I would rather be in the presence of the Lord. It always reminds me of a time when I was about a year into the Lord. I'd been saved about a year, and I hadn't been sick and never really trusted the Lord with anything much to do with, and I always wanted to, and all of a sudden I get sick. I mean, I was really sick. I was fevered, and I was really sick, and I still look back at that as one of the most glorious places that I was in, ever been in. I was sick, and he didn't take it away in a moment. My body was feeling bad, but I felt good. And if I can explain this to you, I think you could understand a little bit about heaven. I felt the best I'd ever felt, as sick as I was. It was the presence of the Lord that made everything else pale in comparison. It didn't mean anything. It was so overshadowing of my life. The Lord can take care of all of our situations. This goes on to say, to proclaim acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy. I want to tell you, I love the expression, beauty for ashes. Ashes represent, there are some good qualities of ashes to do certain things with, but ashes represent something that once held substance that you could do something with that has all been taken from it.
Yes.
There's nothing good. You can't burn ashes. No. Ashes won't burn. That burn's already happened. Everything that was notable or that, it's a life that's been turned to nothing. It's a life that's not valuable anymore, but to God, who could transform it, and he will trade us that old problem. He'll give beauty for it.
Yes, he will.
He'll change the old attitudes that can't be changed, the situations that can't be changed. You bring them to the Lord and he'll swap that old burnout thing for something that's really beautiful. That's the gospel. You can bring a heart full of hate to the Lord and he'll give you something beautiful there. He'll fill it full of love. You can bring an old life of full of habits and intemperate life. You can bring it to the Lord and the Lord will take those ashes and give you something beautiful in its place.
Yes.
He'll transform that. That's the hope that we have. Many, many times in my life, I remember this one phrase resounding through my mind. But then there's God. When I become hopeless or I think something can't be done or it looks bad, the resounding thought of, but then there's God, changes all of that thinking. But then there's God. I know God can change the circumstance. He can make it not what it is. Now, I got some scriptures, but there's some other things running through my mind. But I've seen so many times at home where a prayer request would come in. And the prayer request would be urgent. It would be emphatic. It would be gruesome. And we would go to prayer. And the next report was, well, it wasn't as bad as we thought it was. Thank the Lord. And we got to thinking the natural idea that they just gave us a bad report and now it's a good report. But I got a hold of something one time. Oh, no, it's not. That's God answering our prayer and not showing the world. He's a master at hiding what he does to those that don't want to believe it. I remember specifically one of the Doolittle boys had a very odd thing happened. There were some straps in the floor of the truck in the back seat. He was a little boy. He was in there. When he got in, one of the straps fell out, but it was still looped in the floor. And so when they took off with the truck, the strap got in under the back wheel, and it was looped around his foot. And so when they took off, that strap pulled through the door with his foot hooked in it. And just crushed his ankle and foot, and the time they stopped, it was an urgent prayer request. And oh, it was so bad to do it. And I remember going to the Lord and saying, This is bad. This is bad. And I remember the Lord bringing back to my thought, I can change that. And I prayed specifically, Lord, let the news be, it's not as bad as we thought. Change the circumstance. And you know, it wasn't long. Well, it was bad, all this stuff, and it was bad. And said, we don't know how. But it's not near as bad as we thought it was. It's not that bad. You know, the Lord can change the situations of our life. You know, we're in a political season. What have you heard more in political campaigns from the time I was little? Isn't it change? Isn't that always the thing that's out there at the forefront? We need change. Because this is bad, we need change. They're not able to give much change, but it's the idea that everybody understands. If something ain't going well, it needs changed. We need something to change about this situation. And the Lord is the one that can change it. We want to look at another scripture over in John. Thank the Lord that he's able to do these things. Fifth chapter of John. In the first verse it says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the trouble of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. A certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. It's a short time for eternity, but it's a long time in a lifetime. It takes up a great big space of life. And especially to be impotent, the man wasn't able to walk or do anything, and he had this for 38 years. In my mind, I think that at the beginning of this, maybe a year in, he probably got there to the pool with great anticipation. Yes. To be the one that gets the healing. I imagine there would have been a certain amount of discouragement that happened when you didn't get in. But you've only been doing this a few months. Next season will be a time, and you don't make it again. And again, and again, and in 38 years can be pretty discouraging. And it can lose the hope of ever being changed. It never being changed. I want to use this as an illustration because, but I want to go to a higher point. God has left people in situations in their bodies, but he don't leave you there in your souls.
No,
the purpose of God is never to leave you impotent in your soul. There may be a purpose and a reason to, that you can't be impotent in your soul if you're potent in, I don't know. God does, but I know this. He's got a promise for us that he'll never leave us or forsake us. And he welcomes all to come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. God's will is that we all come for the strength that we need of our souls. But this is a good representation of that. For 38 years, there was a man that wanted to get into the pool. Jesus, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now here was a man. What did you suppose that moment was like? You suppose there may have been some dancing? How about some gladness? I don't suppose that these events like this that the Lord done meant that the man did that every second of every day for the rest of his life, but it sure would have hit home right then. There would have been something that would, the change that the Lord can get. The Lord, no man, I can't get this because no man can put me in there. But the Lord come by, and I'm going to tell you, the Lord makes a difference when he comes by. He wants to change those things about our life. You're not in a hopeless situation tonight. No situation is hopeless in the Lord. And the Lord was able to make this man whole. Another scripture in John 8th chapter. Jesus, first verse again, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again unto the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. And Moses in our law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." I read an interesting thing in one of the commentaries about that. Some say that would be better have been said in that translation of that is would have been better said him that has the same sin. But this is the way it reads. And it says, "And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it began being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, being at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst." This woman, no doubt, didn't have much of a chance. She probably didn't think she had much of a chance. I imagine what the feeling had went through her and what it was like. But along comes Jesus. And when there's a great condemnation on you, when there's great guilt on you, when there's things that you don't think you can ever change or hope to change about your own life. I've been this way all my life. I've never been able to alter it, change it. I want better and I can't. There's one that can come by that can change all of those situations about that. No doubt she thought that she was going to get the wrath of their stones. No doubt she thought this was going to be a situation. But then all of a sudden the light shines of hope and Jesus comes by and deals with her in this situation. What is it the best thing that he can say for her? "Neither do I condemn thee." Where's the ones that condemn you? Is any man here to condemn you? No, they're all gone. neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Yes. Is that free? The circumstance changed because Jesus was there. Brother Ed alluded to this morning in this, but it's an amazing thing, this speaks of God's love. Jesus could have destroyed them there, but he didn't, because he loved them too.
Yes.
He wanted to give them the ultimate time of repentance. He dealt with them in a repentance, not in a destruction. They went away because of the situation that they was in. They knew they had guilt on them. But I think it would have been better served if they would have stopped a minute and said, have mercy on me. Lord, give me something too. Change this about my life that I can't change for myself. This is another situation that the Lord's very entrance changes life. Another scripture in John 9. John 9 in... Oh, go back just a little bit. 17th verse says, They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. You know, that's quite a message. And the blessing of this is, there can be all kind of gainsayers that says that it ain't real. You wasn't blind, or this is a fraud. But you can't take this from the blind man.
No.
This experience is an experience that he had. Lord done something for him. You know how hopeless life could be when you can't see? You know how much difference it must have been for him to have been changed? To have been able to receive his sight? To be able to function in society? The Lord gave him this chance. He changed this situation for this man. And it didn't matter. His testimony was going to be a testimony. We need this testimony. You need this testimony. You need to be able to say to all the gates. You need to be able to say to the devil. You need to be able to point to the time and say, I may not know the great mysteries of things. I may not know the ins and outs of every verse. And I may not be smart enough to do all of these things. But this one thing I know. I was lost, and now I'm saved. I was blind, and now I see. And all the other, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you think or what you do or any of those things. God has changed my life. I know when God changed my life. I can point back and say, there was a time where I humbled myself before the Lord, and the Lord done something for me. He changed my heart, my life. I was a different person, a different views, a different direction. I wanted different things. He changed all of that. And he gave me a hope beyond. You know, I was a pretty miserable guy at 23 years old. I mean, I know you're supposed to be, that's supposed to be the time of your life. But I got to the place that I was pretty miserable at 23. And life wasn't being very good. I wasn't enjoying life. And the things that I'd done wasn't bringing me much satisfaction. Yeah, I run around, I played sports, I done all this stuff, but when I got through, I was hollow and empty and I didn't have nothing. And I wasn't satisfied with it. And then I got to the point that I didn't trust anybody because you could have trusted me. I just wasn't trustworthy. And you could have trusted me and I didn't trust nobody. And I became miserable in my heart and all that. And I was like, what's this all about? And you know what the Lord dealt with me? He changed all that. And the Lord brought something into my life that was very valuable. And now I can say, and I don't know what the Lord's going to do with me from here on out, but I'll say this. My testimony is if tonight's my last one, God's been good to me. I've had an incredible life with an incredible people and with an incredible, God has done so much and I've seen so much and I have a wonderful family of people. And I don't know how I could be more blessed than I am. God has been good to me. Thank God for that. He changes the direction. He can change the direction. There's no reason if you're in a situation and have hopeless things, and you may not be hopeless, but there may be hopeless things in your life, things that you say, I can't change. I need them changed. I'm going to tell you, the Lord can change those things. When we get serious before the Lord can change all of those things. This man's life was completely changed, and he testified for himself. I don't know what your arguments. I don't know how to get in the middle of it. I don't know what you say he is. I was blind. He come along, but I'll say this. I was blind, and now I see. Two facts that have to be, I was blind, and now I see. Well, the rest of it, you figure out in your own philosophy. But I was blind, and now I see. And you can never take that from the blind man. And we need an experience that can never be taken away from us. Lord, help us. Another scripture that I want to look at is over in Luke, the 18th chapter. 35th verse says, and it come to pass, as he was come nigh to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stirred and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what will that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. It seemed so hopeless, no doubt. He was only out there doing what he could, just begging for alms. But then a light shone inside his soul. He heard something. He believed something. This one called Christ was coming by. The Lord spoke something. He gave him something. And in that place, he cried out to the Lord, have mercy on me. In my experience with the Lord, I have never went in the fullness of my heart before the Lord. Being contrite and humble, I've never went to the Lord and get up the way I went down. The Lord has always changed the situation with my prayers inside me. And this man, he cried out to the Lord with all his heart, have mercy on me. And the Lord stopped in his present course and got him there and changed that situation of his life. And what it must have been like to have been in that situation and now to be able to see. What a wonderful, wonderful idea. I was in this place and now I see. I wish that the world could know, all the world could know that there is a place. It doesn't have to be this way. Our world is going further and further away from God. We all recognize it. If you're here of any age of understanding, you know that this world's gone a long, long ways away from God and away from their help. And there is more suicide because of it The further people go away from God, the more discouragement, the more hopelessness there is. You wonder why the crime rates is so high. People are out there doing these kind of things. That's the kind of world that it's going to. And when we look at it, we got to live in that kind of world. But I want to tell you, we have a God to serve, and He'll take care of all of our situations. So if you have a need tonight, any kind of need, any kind of place in your life that has seemed hopeless, it seems like it can't be fixed, places that is too big for anybody to do anything about, I want to let you know, God can do something about it. Amen.